And he didn't, but he worked on it and did a wonderful job leading that song, and I appreciate it. Welcome again to everyone. We're thankful that you're here. We appreciate your presence, and I hope you had a good day, and that you know it's a wonderful blessing to be here with our God this evening together. Again, I wanted to make sure that you grab one of these prayer lists out in the foyer if you haven't. Keep up to date on that and the folks that need your prayers. We are a praying people, and God answers prayers. We got a lot of folks that need our prayers. So make sure you grab one of those. And there's addresses here to send folks a card or a letter. And I know they appreciate that. Now, our lesson this evening here, I'm kind of going to wing a few things here. I've got several things on the PowerPoint. I have a few quotes here written down, and I kind of told you a little bit about what we're going to be doing quite a few of the Sunday evenings through the remainder of this year. Our theme, of course, One Foundation. We're talking about that one foundation building up. And I talk about this one-word book, and you know, if you tried to get on onewordstudy.com, Christy tried, then I tried. You can't buy them anymore, I'm sorry. But you don't need this book for these lessons that we're doing. And I bet if you look back at your church books that you got throughout the years, you'll probably find one of these, because I know the church here did these books 4, 5, 6 years ago. You know, there's a lot of words in there that I want to examine throughout this year in the evenings that fit very well with our theme for the year. And, of course, we're going to talk about words this evening here. You know, then creation and sin and wrath and grace and a lot of things in here on Christian character and our relationships and last things and God's nature, and I'd love to do them all, but we're not going to be able to, because I already know there's several morning sermons that I want to make a two-part lesson out of that we'll do the second one in the evening. But we're going to do quite a few of these words here, and you know, these words that we're going to look at are going to be very beneficial to our faith. And so with the lesson here, at least what I had in my mind was talking about the importance of words and the importance of the Word, Jesus Christ, the great Logos, we see there in John chapter 1 and verse 1. But I want us to, before we look at that, I want to just take a moment here for us to be encouraged. And I want that encouragement to come by a story that occurred Thursday, and I know it's okay to talk about because I heard their wives talking about it. Sit down Thursday about noon, 12:30, and I get a call. I'm sitting down for a visit with the Daughtrys. I get a call, and it's Joey. He said, "Are you close by?" I'm paraphrasing here, of course. He said, "Me and Ronnie are on the roof, and the ladder blew down." And it was hard to hear him because there's a thunderstorm coming. And you can hear the wind. And I said, "What? What'd you say?" "Yeah, we're on the roof and the ladder blew down." And I don't know why. I think I said, "Stay there," like they could go anywhere. I said, "I'm coming." And so I drove just as fast as I could to get over here. And sure enough, that storm was coming on a tin roof, lightning and everything. And boy, they were happy to see me. And so we put that ladder up, and they got down. And here's why I was encouraged. They're up on the roof fixing leaks. Right? Isn't that encouraging? And it wasn't safe, by the way. Anytime you get up on a roof, you get up on a ladder, it's not safe, is it, Ron? But I was encouraged. Right, we have brethren, they were doing stuff. And I see lots of stuff like that throughout my week, and it encourages me. Right, the congregation here at Fairview it encourages me. A lot of wonderful things. And so I want you to be encouraged. Right? If we're gonna build up as God wants us to, we need to maintain that encouragement. Right? And there's a lot of great things going on. So be encouraged. Right? Be encouraged that God has given us His Word to learn, to have faith, to have a foundation, to grow with, to build upon. So be encouraged. Be encouraged and give God thanks for men getting stuck on a roof. You know, have you ever had a miscommunication? I'm sure we all have. Words were not heard as they were intended. You have a miscommunication with your spouse, with your boss, an employee, a child. I'm sure we've all had a miscommunication at some point. Right? The words didn't come out right, or they weren't received right, or something happened in there. Why is that? Well, because words matter. Right? Words matter. And understand this, God in His wisdom decided the means He was going to communicate His life-saving message with by the use of language or words. Right? So it's God in His wisdom said, I want you to learn what you need to learn with words. I want you to know what you need to know with this language. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, about verses 1 through 10, when you get a chance. And that'll describe what I'm talking about there. But words absolutely mattered. And so that's why I think this study is important. Right? God's the one that's giving us words. And like we just sang in that song, I actually put the first verse of that here in a moment on my PowerPoint, just in case Don wasn't able to lead it. And we're going to relook at that in a moment here. But words are important, right? God's ancient words, like we sang. They're life-giving. His words are meant to convict us, to challenge us, and to change us. You know, the power of words, it would be difficult to overestimate it, right? So that's what this series of lessons is all about. Words absolutely matter. You know, I'm sure we've all at some point experienced the power of words, right? And of course, hopefully with the Word of God, it convicts us and challenges us to make that change. But I'm sure we've all at some point in our lives heard words in a phrase that just stopped us, right? I'm pregnant. Or even a response to a marriage request. You get that one word, yes. Right? Or you go and see a doctor, you've got cancer. Or you're cancer free. See, words have power, right? And as kids used to saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words absolutely hurt. Words absolutely devastate, but words also encourage, direct, guide, and uplift. And Solomon knew this when he wrote Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And again in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and words, those who love it, will eat its fruit. Right? So words have power. God's word has power. And just like we just sang here, holy words long preserved for a walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh let the ancient words impart. Words have power, God's words are the most powerful. His ancient words, filled with His Spirit, can pierce deep right into the depths of the human spirit, such a way that God reveals that His knowledge of each of us far surpasses even our own knowledge of ourselves, right? What we can know about ourselves, like the Hebrews writer said, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is intended to reach way down into your heart and to cut you. Right? It was the words of Peter that he preached on the day of Pentecost that cut the heart of the people there in that audience. Right? They were cut to the heart. The words of God and the story, the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, those are words that are meant to cut our hearts. Words that are meant to convict us, to make a change, to challenge us to continue to grow. That's why words absolutely matter. Now, the ultimate of all words, of course, is Jesus, who is the Word. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, Jesus is the Word, that Greek word for logos. He is the pre-existent logos, right? In the beginning was the Word, the logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He's the Creator, the Word. He is the Word that gives life, that sustains life. And it's so important here in verse 14, same chapter, the Word, the Logos, the pre-existent Logos, became flesh and He dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Now, in reading, a lot of Bible translators and linguists, when they talk about this word Logos, it seems many of them say that, you know, the single English word, it's difficult to render the fullness of the meaning of that when it's referring to Jesus. R.C. Sproul asserts this, correctly so, that, quote, "The cosmic Christ enters our humanity. It is the supreme moment of visitation of the eternal with the temporal, the infinite with the finite, the unconditioned with the conditioned." And so as we think about words, we think about the Word, a good summary of the of Jesus as a pre-existent Logos, the pre-existent Word of life as seen through the early Christian apologists, the early church fathers, is that He, number one, reveals the Father to mankind, John chapter 1, verse 15, is the divine reason, and we get our word logic from Logos, by the way, right? Is the divine logic of the revelation of God's will, Revelation 19 and verse 3, and is the divine will by which the universe was made, and we just read that here in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. He is the reason and the revelation of God to mankind. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, listen to this. This is amazing to me. "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God, the mystery." And when you see that word mystery here in the New Testament, it's not like, you know, we think of a mystery of something we'll never know the answer to. Rather, it's what God has revealed in His due time. That's what this word means, mysterion. So the mystery, verse 26, "which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints." Right, the revealed Word of God. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the sum total of the reason for our being here on this planet. Without Him, we're nothing. Without His Word, without being His Word, we're nothing. Right? And without Him being the Word, everything else is insignificant. Let me read, and I thought this quote here is pretty interesting. This isn't the devotional book that goes along with this. I have that in the office here. But a quote in that book concerning this one-word study here and the importance of it. Ralph Gilmore, he writes in the introduction of this study Devo, he says, quote, "So why should we be excited about a year-long one-word-per-week, one-word project? First of all, we must not underestimate how powerful understanding is in our relationship with God. If the preacher at your congregation accepts the challenge of studying one Bible word per week, it will deepen, enhance, and embellish his own appreciation for the word of the week. If he studies this particular word and prays for his own understanding of this word," and he quotes James 1 verse 15, and he goes on, "every day that week, then he will be more ready to preach about that word than perhaps ever before if he is able to translate that appreciation of the word into a sermon and transmit this appreciation to the audience. Then that word will be on the minds and the hearts of the hearers in such a way that spiritual growth is inevitable." You know, listen, if we want to build like we're talking about this year, we need to learn God's word. Right? We need to grow in our knowledge. And when we grow in the knowledge of God's word, we're going to be more spiritual. Right? And when we're more spiritual, there's going to be a natural byproduct of that. We're going to produce fruit for God's glory. Right? We need to be a people of the word, and this is where it begins, understanding its importance. You know, the growth in turn will positively impact our congregation and countless ways, because the head must lead the heart, not the other way around. The head must lead the heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 14 and verse 33, "Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools." There, Proverbs 14 and verse 33. Back there in Colossians, here in Colossians, pretty sure I have that. Yeah, Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. You know, Paul, he's praying there for the brethren at Colossae, Laodicea, other places, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, why does all that matter? So, I want to spend our remaining time here in John chapter 6. We're not going to go on for much longer here. I want to kind of lead up to our scripture reading we had earlier. I just want you to see a few things. Now the gospel account of John, it's the spiritual gospel. Right? Where, you know, if you're looking at things in a technical sense, Matthew was primarily to the Jews. Mark was primarily to the Roman mindset. Luke was primarily to the Greek mindset. Where John is for everybody. And its main focus is the personage of Jesus Christ. And he's going through in a very systematic way saying, let me give you evidence of who Jesus is. Let's hear witness testimony of who Jesus is. And you, the reader, are being asked throughout this book, what are you going to do with Jesus? Right? That's the purpose of the book for you as you read it. What are you going to do with this evidence, with this witness testimony? Right? Behold the Lamb of God. Right? The bread of life, the living water, the resurrection. All of these things. But what are you going to do with Jesus? Remember how the book begins? He's the Word. He's the Creator. The Word came and tabernacled among men. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to live in response to that? The Word of life. Living among men and learning who He is. Actually, if you went back to John, the fifth chapter, John chapter 5 and verse 25, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. What a wonderful statement. Then going into chapter 6, leading up to our scripture reading here. In John, the 6th chapter, you know, Jesus, if you were to go verse 59 and back, right, he's teaching there, and he's going to say some things about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood. And, of course, he's talking symbolically. A lot of people don't want to hear that word. Man, this guy is crazy. We don't want anything to do with anyone that has anything to say like that. You know, that's basically the response. Right in verse 60, if you have your Bible open, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? Right, it goes on, Jesus understood they were complaining about it. At the end of verse 61, does this offend you? Look at verse 62 and 3. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That first part of verse 64, but there's some of you who do not believe. A lot of folks said, I don't want to hear that word. You see, a lot of people want a Savior. They don't want a sovereign king. They only want to hear the words that make them feel good about themselves, but they don't want a sovereign king telling them how to live. And we talked about that this morning, didn't we? If you drop down a little bit more, he's going to talk to the 12, the disciples. He says in verse 67, do you also want to go away? But Peter said in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. The words of Jesus matter the most. Again, John begins the book telling us that Jesus is the Word. Right? So what are you going to do with the Word? What are you going to do with the words of life? That's the big question. That's why words matter. And real quick here in chapter 8 of John, let me just point this out to you here real quick. Chapter 8, verse 37, he's talking to the Jews there, of course, the religious leaders. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Right? They wouldn't allow the word of God from the word of God to penetrate their hard hearts. Stay in the chapter there and look at verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. The deceitfulness of sin, it seems hard in their hearts. Right, Hebrews 3 and verse 13 is a good cross-reference. And right here, because words matter, verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words. Right, so words are very, very important. And so in all of this, I was just thinking about, you know, reasons to do this one word study. Think about the importance of words, and I was thinking about a lot of these words here. They're going to fit in with our theme for the year and encourage us to build as God would have us to build. We can learn a lot in this sermon series we're going to look at. Just two more passages here, and the lesson is yours. You know, Jesus knows how to help us find genuine treasure. Right? Words that will enrich our hearts spiritually. Jesus knows how to help us find that genuine treasure. And he says in Luke 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As you turn over to Matthew 12, verse 37, I want you to think about what Jesus is saying there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. He's talking about what we put in, right? You know, if we're putting in the bad stuff, the sinful stuff of this life, right, if we're allowing garbage into our spiritual house, if we're watching filth on the internet, on the television, right? If we're hanging around sinful people and we're filling ourselves with all of that stuff, you know what's going to happen eventually? That's what's going to come out of us. Right? Have you ever spent a long time with somebody, you weren't sure if you liked them or not, but after spending a long time with them, you realize, boy, I don't like that person. Right? Maybe you had to take a long car trip together. Well, you know, after a while, what's on the inside of somebody, it's coming out. Same thing with the good. We got to put the good in. Right? The words of life, the words of God. We keep putting the good stuff in, and we put in the good fellowship. We put in good prayers. Right? All of those things that God calls us to in our Christian walk, living that sanctified life, and the good's going to come out. Matthew 12, verse 37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So, you know, let's pray that God blesses us in this study here, a study of His ancient words, and seek to grow in our knowledge and therefore in our faith, and good things will happen. Good things, a byproduct of God's people being a people of the Word, spending their time in the Word. A byproduct is wonderful things to the glory of God, spiritual growth to the glory of God. So let that be a description of us this evening. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, we'd love to help you with that. Or if you need to bring something before the church, or you just need encouragement, let us show you the love of God. Let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.